Start the service and turn to Psalms 121. And the announcement I was making all month is now. So, and you can see that the Cathys are with us, so we appreciate that. We're going to have some prayer meetings here in the near future, so we'll announce those dates as soon as we have a little more firm dates and times set for those. We get to verses 7 and 8 here, we'll just read that one together, both of those verses, when we get to the end. Psalms 121, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help?
My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth.
He will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber.
Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand.
The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul.
The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in.
From this time forth
and even forevermore.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Forevermore.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, make my life to be like a melody ever sounding out the message of the cross. Oh, Savior, let me be like a melody ever sounding out the message of the cross. With Jesus in your heart, no discord can arise. He can make the saddest heart to harmonize. Savior, let me be like a melody ever sounding out the message of the cross. Oh, make my life to be like a melody ever sounding out the message of the cross. Savior, let me be like a melody ever sounding out the message of the cross. Oh, with Jesus in your heart, no discord can arise. Oh, he can make the saddest heart to harmonize. Oh, yes, Savior, let me be like a melody ever sounding out the message of, with Jesus in your heart. Oh, with Jesus in your heart, no discord, none at all. Well, he can make the saddest heart to harmonize. Savior, let me be like a melody ever sounding out the message of the cross. Praise God. Oh, I appreciate your efforts, brothers and sisters. You really try. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just heard on the radio that the cheapest thing you can do is smile at somebody. There's no cost involved, and it takes less muscles than frowning. So it's a really cost saver. So just go ahead and turn that on today. So when the preacher's up here, he'll see all your smiling. He won't know what's going on, but at least he'll be getting something free. You love him tonight? Some brothers come forward. I don't have any prayer requests or anything like that. Brother Samson did a message from me that there was another brother that's been in the message for a long time that he has something wrong in his heart or something like that that's really affecting him bad. And he's an older gentleman and he's in Indiana or India. And so let's just remember Brother Samson and the church over there and the people that he goes and sees. And I know Brother Ernie's daughter, I haven't heard back from her yet or from him in the Philippines of how they're doing, but just remember to keep them strong. He's the one who's going out in the mud pits and spreading the gospel. Do you love him tonight?
Yes, sir.
Just picture tonight As you hear the sermon going forward or the words coming forward and that cup slides or that bread slides in your hand, that those nail print hands are handing you that. He said, do this in remembrance of me as Brother Roy leads us in prayer. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Sister Rachel is going to help us out here tonight, so just pull it where you want it.
I love you.
That blood did something for you. For a long time I traveled down the long, lonely road. My heart was so heavy in sin I sank low. Then I heard about Jesus. What a wonderful hour. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His saving power. Oh, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me the way. Take a bird out of prison that's taking its flight, like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His holy name. World of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me. Sing that last verse again. I remember that blind guy. Heard out of prison, that's taking his flight. The blind guy we seen took off running. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Gave back his, oh, praise Him. Oh, like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out through His holy name. Well, thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Yes. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out and show me. Let's sing it again one more time. Put our hands up and wave. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus, been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out, show me the way. How we love You, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Are you ready to lean on Jesus? Praise God. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning He'll take care of it all.
Well, learning to lean. Yes, I'm learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Was finding more power than I ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Sing it one more time tonight with all your heart. Let's just lean on the Lord.
Learning to lean
in all things.
Oh, learning to lean.
Go ahead and tonight, I'll be done tonight. If you turn into John chapter 6 with me, I believe any Christian that's walked with the Lord any amount of time has learned. Well, you keep learning to lean, don't you? You trust Him for one thing, but you should lean on Him for all things. I mean, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Sure appreciate the Rachels being with us. And the we have a family called the Rachels around here. See, you got to get these brothers with them. I'm just going to say them girl ass names, you know. I know you've gotten it, brother. I'd take Kathy over Rachel, though. I'll give you that. Like I said, there's a whole family with last name Rachels, but God bless you, Kathy's, and Sister Rachel, Brother Chris, and your two boys that are with us tonight, Isaac and Joseph. Praise the Lord. I sure enjoyed that special. I don't know how you felt. That was wonderful. As truly as we know, the message has taught us, this whole Bible to the bride is a love letter. Amen. If you just give eyes to look between the lines and see Him expressing Himself to you, just love all the way through. Amen. Amen. Just a little thought. I've had this on my heart ever since thinking of communion. I'd like to preach it tonight. Help of the Lord. John chapter 6. And we can go to verse 47. Of course, Jesus is dissertation back and forth with the Pharisees. The chapter starts with them feeding the 5,000, and then they talk about the bread of life and bread falling from heaven and things, but I like to pick it up towards the end here, where he says in verse 47, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." I like to preach this communion service almost evening, but this afternoon still. I like to preach. And those of you that were here Wednesday, this does kind of tie into that, but I'd like to speak tonight on let us eat. Let us eat. Amen. Can we just bow our heads as we approach the Word of God, every head bowed, and your heart, just the way you pray. And again, sure, if you have a need, you'd like to lift to the Lord, you're welcome to do so tonight. We didn't come just to have a ritual. We came to have a special time, a special service here and the communion of the Lord. God bless each one. Let's just pray, just the way you pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for gathering us once again into your house, Lord. And it's such a special time to come together and to see the communion table, to see the bread and the wine, and to think of that lovely man that walked the shores of Galilee, that constantly gave himself for others, constantly showed the love of God, and to think the world so missed it that they would kill you and betray you and sell you out, Lord, and have their minds so corrupt they wouldn't know what they were doing to the one that loved them more than anything that could ever love them. But Father, we're so glad that no matter how dark it got, it was all for a purpose. It was all so necessary. Lord, you dying for us was so necessary. You being betrayed was so necessary that when Peter tried to fight against it, you said, "Get thee behind me, Satan. I haven't come to reign. I've come to give my life that I might reign for my people." Lord Jesus, how we appreciate that sacrifice tonight. And Lord, we come with needy hearts. We come to do what you told us, to remember you, Lord, that the world might talk about you. They might have a Sunday school song about you. But Lord, we want to actually remember you, that you're still alive. You're still well. You're still with us all the way to the end of the world. And in our lives, every day, every trial, Lord, you just always are there coming on the scene. How we appreciate it, Lord. We remember you tonight and we give you the praise due your name. Father, now as we approach the Word, may it feed the people of God. May it meet the needs that's already been brought up to your throne. God, may this not just be another service. May it be something special. Lord, as I believe every service is handcrafted by you before the foundation of the world, you have something to do tonight in our lives. May it be done in each one that's here. We love you and commit the service now into your precious hands. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Well, you didn't have to all leave. I mean, man, just serve. I understand sometimes it just goes that way. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house tonight. Amen. You could be anywhere else. It is a Saturday evening. I mean, there's plenty of places to go goof off and do things, but you all came to the house of the Lord tonight, didn't you? Amen. I say let's redeem the time and make it worth our time to be in God's house. Amen. Like, I found this interesting, as I could get into the scripture here in a minute, but to think just naturally speaking that God has always been concerned with feeding his people. I thought that was interesting. You're still in the book of John. Go ahead and go to the end. And to think that Jesus is raised from the dead and he comes and meets with his disciples. And we would think with our mind, there's all kinds of things that he should be doing with his disciples. But if you turn to John chapter 21, all the way at the end there, John chapter 21. And we know that Peter had went back fishing and they had been toiling all day long and had nothing. And Jesus tells them in John 21 verse 5, said, "Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answer, No. And we know he tells them to cast it on the other side, and they begin to pull in so many fish. They had nothing. And then they obeyed God, and they had so many they didn't know what to do with. I believe it's the same, brother, sister, with us. We can try all we want to do it in ourselves. You're just going to have an empty net at the end of the day. But if you just listen to the Lord, he'll give you more than you can even handle. Praise God. Amen. And we know that we could read all of this, but if you jump to just verse 9, it says, As soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus said unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing it was the Lord. Then Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now, listen, the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. And what is he doing? Having supper together. It just goes to show God is interested in feeding his people. He's interested in you being satisfied and full. You want to have a good time? There better be food involved. Now, if we're going to do something spiritual, don't get me wrong. We're going to fast and pray. That's a whole different good time. But I'm talking about a good time. Yeah, you say, what are you talking about, brother? Go all the way back to the garden. What's the first thing? One of the first things God tells man is, I've given you trees to eat them. I want you to be filled. What did he say with Noah when he got off the ark? He said, you see all them animals out there? You're allowed to eat them now. What happened to Moses when they were out there in the wilderness? He said, you know what? You guys need some food. I'm going to feed you out of heaven. Here you go. I'm going to just create it for you. Jesus, when we just, like in John chapter 6, there's the 5,000 there. He said, man, you all hungry. What'd he do? He went and made bread and fish for enough for 5,000 men and all the women and children that were there too. And even what we just read there, but even before that, remember the great night of the betrayal was, we know it as the Last Supper. God is interested in feeding us, brother, sister. And I do, and even in the natural, and we know Jesus told us that, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. So he is interested in making sure you've got food and clothes and money to live in. I believe that, but I don't believe that's the end of the story. I don't think God does that just to hide. Like, no, he cares about your spiritual needs more than that. And brother, if you'll take care of the natural that comes today and goes tomorrow, how much more ought be our faith that he's going to take care of what we need spiritually? And what I've learned, and maybe that's where I'm feeling inspired tonight, is that we have an abundant source of food. God has made it. He's provided it. He's told it. It's for us. But we've got too many voices that's got too many steps and too many rituals on why we cannot eat it. Even in the book of Revelations, is when you get to the end of the churches, let me just turn there real quick. Just want to teach on this a little bit. But Revelations chapter 2 tells us, it's verse 7, which is the end of the Ephesian age. He tells you this. He says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And then in verse 17, at the end of the Pergamos age, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, which... and will give him a white stone, and in stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. God has given us something that we're to eat, to partake of, to say, it's mine. I've digested it. They say you are what you eat. Well, brother, sister, if we're going to be the Word, it's time to start eating it. It's time to say these things are for us. And I've learned that people want to pick this or pick that. Brother, I don't care if it tastes good. I don't care if it don't taste good. If it was the Word, it's for you. Because we've got too many just hells all that the Bible came and told us about, preachers. I mean, Laodicea, oh man, the devil's on a rampage. He's in our government. He's in our pulpits. He's every devil, devil, devil. And that's all we're going to eat. Well, you eat that long enough, you're just going to be miserable all the time. And then we got fairyland over here where we pretend there ain't no devil and we just, oh, praise the Lord, always got the victory. You have a trial. You must just not actually got saved because I'm over here saved with the Holy Ghost and nothing ever bothers me. Never have no mind battles, Brother Roy. It's just hunky-dory. I'm doing great. And you just lying. And what happens is, and Christians help us. Look, if the world tells you you need a well-balanced diet, how much more do we need a well-balanced diet of the Word of God? And I'll tell you that, anything in that Word, eat it. Eat it down, brother. It's for you. Take it down. It's good for you. That's right. Anything in the world, why don't you go ahead and spit that out? It ain't no good. It won't last. It might taste fine like a lollipop does, but it ain't going to do nothing for you when you're in trouble. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 5:7-8, it says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Let us therefore keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That's what we ought to be eating, something that we can put down and don't have to think about it twice. That's why the Bible says, I think even your mind, when you absorb things into your mind, you ought to eat things, as the Bible said, that are lovely, that are pure, that are of good report. Something you could say, if Jesus saw me thinking this, he would be all right with it. Amen. I know it's an old phrase, but don't be doing nothing you wouldn't be doing if Jesus would come. Don't be thinking nothing you wouldn't want to be thinking if Jesus should come. Hallelujah. Now listen to this. We talk about the hidden manna. We talk about the tree of life and that these things have been given for us to eat. And that's why I hope you get out of this service. Let's eat it. Let's eat all of it. Let's not leave it on the shelf. Brother Andrew, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. But I've heard that phrase so many times. Oh, if you don't understand, just leave it over there on the shelf. You show me a quote that tells you to do that. I know it's popular message doctrine, but you go find me a quote to do that. I'll tell you the quote, and I look so hard to find this, Brother Roy, and I hope somebody finds it for me so I can have some message background to what they're talking about. Because every time I look up to the world shelf, you know what I found? Brother Bram said if I inherited an arcade of an inheritance, and I could, and there's all these things that belong to me. He said, if I saw something on a shelf too high for me to get, I wouldn't just say, well, I hope it's good up there. That's mine. I want to know what that's all about. He said, I'd find me a ladder and I'd go up there and get what was on that shelf because it's mine. I'm saying that tonight. Let's not just look at it. Let's not, oh, that's a nice word. That's a nice promise. Oh, look at that rapture. That's so great. Look at the Holy Ghost. Oh, isn't that beautiful? No, let's eat it. Let's go find it. Let's get it off the shelf and let's put it in our mouths and say, that's mine. I don't want to just read about a recipe about a pie. I want to eat the thing. I don't want to watch that video you making the greatest steak there is. I want to hear on my dinner plate with my knife and my fork, and I want it in my belly. If I can feel that way and I'm feeling inspired just thinking about a steak, how much more the Word of God that's been given to us? Praise the Lord. This is hidden manna, brother, sister. This is something the world don't know nothing about. But you do. And that's why I'm saying I can't, maybe that, there's just too many voices telling us, oh, you know, you can't quite have your healing. You ain't done this yet. That's in there. That's my man. I'm going to eat it. You can't have victory tonight. You didn't do the right thing last 10 years ago. You'd be surprised at some of the things people believe. And I'll get to communion in a minute. Let me finish this thought first, because that's where we're heading. That's why we're here tonight. Questions and Answers, 1961, Brother Branham says this, said in the Bible, we just come through it over there in the church ages, Jesus is the hidden manna. Christ is the church's manna. What is manna? Manna in the Old Testament, what was that what come down from heaven fresh every night to sustain the church in its journey. Is that right? Now in the New Testament, what is the hidden manna? A little while, and the world seeth me no more, hidden. Yet ye shall see me, for I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And Christ is that hidden manna that comes from God out of heaven, afresh every day. Every day. That includes Laodicea. I don't care what doctrine you get, how bad it's going to get. The bride has the revival now. She has the hidden word. There is no former or latter rain. It's already been brought. It's already quickened that word. We're not waiting for nothing to come. It's here today. Eat it. It's yours. Hallelujah. Today. You know what? You'll need another thing in the morning. Eat it. That word is fresh every single day. All right. He continues on. He says, we can't say, well, 2 weeks ago, I had a great experience of God. That's just 2 weeks ago. Some of us try to just one service. Oh, I had a great time Sunday, but, you know, Saturday, yeah, whatever. I'll get it next time. 2 weeks ago. No, I need it today. Don't do no good to have it 2 weeks ago. Anybody enjoyed a meal that was 2 weeks ago today? No, you enjoyed it 2 weeks ago. All right. Well, 2 weeks ago, I had a great experience of God. What about right now? See? Every day, fresh, a new blessing, a new something coming from God, the hidden manna coming down from God out of heaven, Christ. And we feast upon this manna, which is manna coming down from God out of heaven. Which is Christ, and He sustains us through the journey till we reach the land on the other side. So we're to be eaten until we get there. Amen. Now, that's what he meant by feed my sheep. We'd get on that. We'd never get to the rest of the questions, but because that's a good one for me. I like that. When I talk of Christ being the manna and the food for the sheep, feed them Christ from His Word. See, take the Word of Christ just exactly the way it's wrote here and give it out to the sheep. No matter what anybody else says, oh, they need a hamburger. Don't you believe that? Here's what they need right here. This is it. See, give them this. This is sheep food. That's what makes them grow. The Holy Spirit, this is His Word, His commission. The Word is a seed. The seed brings forth the plant. The plant we eat. Now this is what brings forth the plant that the Holy Spirit thrives upon is the church. It feeds upon the church, the Holy Spirit does. You ever thought you get to partake of Him, but He's partaking of you in your life? Lord, I want my life to be a full course meal for You. I want You to be able to get breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and snack, and whatever You want, anytime You want out of my life. Amen. I thought that was beautiful. That thrilled my soul. It says, it feeds upon the church, the Holy Spirit does, rejoicing in the presence of God because the people is believing His word and letting Him work through them, giving them the very things that God promised them that they would do. And God sees His church growing, therefore all the sheep's being fed and the Holy Spirit's being glorified. See, that's it. Feed my sheep. All right. Brother, sister, many people act like we're just eating out of a garbage can. Man, this ain't no garbage can. It just barely, oh man, it only lasts a day and a half and we're right back to defeated all over again. Brother, you need to realize what we're eating is the eternal Word of God. It is the hidden manna that the world, even the devil himself, never been able to figure out and never been able to really partake of this. But this is something that will sustain you eternally. It is something that will satisfy you eternally. It will do what nothing else can do. Say, man, that's pretty simple, brother. Well, then why aren't we eating it more? Get your mind out. Like, when you read the Word of God, that is for me. When I read about every one of these church ages, and we know what Brother Branham said. He said that last church age inherits everything that was given to everyone before that. Come on. So if I eat the Word, I'm partaking of the tree of life. Why would I be afraid of anything? I'm eating what was forbidden. Let the angel kick them out of the garden. I'm eating of it now. You said, how can that be, brother? You're going to live. If you eat that, you live forever. I am. Isn't that what Jesus said? If you eat the bread, my flesh, and drink my blood, you are, He didn't say you're going to have it. You already are eternal. Because you've partaken in Him, and you and Him has become one. I know Jesus the man was born. Jesus the man died, but the life that was in Him never did begin. It can never end. So if you were in there, you've always been in there. So when you eat and you can digest it, it proves that that was already in you. Because you know what? Judas walked with it, but he couldn't eat it. Demas walked with it, but he couldn't eat it. Balaam knew how to approach God. He knew how to get results from God, but he couldn't eat it and apply it to himself. That's why we need more preachers that actually realize that they've got to have the same thing they're preaching to somebody else. Amen. You don't go to heaven for being a preacher. You go to heaven because you're in Jesus Christ. Amen. I think this word is so beautiful. I want people to digest it. And I'll tell you what, once you know the weight of it, nobody's got to force you to read the Bible no more. Because you know what's in there. You know the weight of what it is. Nobody, I'll bring it to the message. If somebody's got to force you to listen to tapes and to read your SEALS book and your church age book and figure out what this message is about, you're a hybrid right off the bat. There's got to be something on the inside that recognizes this word is for what it is and you want to eat it. Amen. Why do you think they had such a hard time with what Jesus was saying? It's because they didn't have any clue what He was talking about. And brother, sister, I'm going to tell you this right now. You might think that a lot of times it's your understanding that's a problem. It really isn't. If you just put your faith in the right spot, the understanding will follow. Everything's all right. You might not get it for 10 years from now, but you'll be able to look back and say, praise God, I just listened to what Jesus put in my heart. Because that's what the disciples had to do. You read the rest of John 6. He tells them, look, and He didn't mince words. He said, my flesh is meat indeed. My blood is drink indeed. If you don't eat it and drink it, you will die in your sins. Well, come on, Jesus. Where's the 10-page dissertation of what you're talking about? Brother Bram tells you, He didn't explain it. He said He was shaking off the parasites. That ain't popular doctrine no more, but it's the truth. Because He knew they weren't actually part of the Word. They just wanted to feed off the benefits of the Word. That's a leech. Christians aren't leeches. Amen. We've got a fountain of living water we got from Christ, and we can just keep giving out. You can have it all because I got plenty coming. I don't need to hoard it. I don't need to leech off anybody else's experience. I got my own. Amen. My cup runneth over. Amen. That's what David said. Is that right? Now, if you stay with the Lord like Peter did, he looked around, he says, you're going to go also. Remember, the whole congregation left, and he said, I'm going to go back to the right hand of the Father where I came from. And he said, all the ministers left. He was down to those last 12. He says, you going too? He looked around and says, I don't know what's going on. I don't know what you're talking about. But you know what? I know one thing. You've got the words of eternal life. And I'm not going anywhere. I believe that's what the bride of Christ is in this day. Look, even as much as God has revealed His word to me, God is no respecter or revealed it to us and shown us things that are coming to be. And brother, if you're like terribly surprised about what's happening in the world, then you're just not a student of the message. I'm just going to tell you the truth. There might be little intricate details here and there that God ain't going to reveal to us. Okay? But you know what? That doesn't matter. As long as I stay with Christ, I'll be all right. I'll be out of this place. I don't know the mechanics about how to take this body and turn it from these mortal cells into immortal. I don't really care as long as I got the dynamics that does it. I don't really care what a marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't care about the etiquette of how I'm supposed to sit in my chair at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I just want to make sure I get there. I'll figure it out when I get there. That's what I'm saying. The message, too many times we're preaching things that the people can't, let me say this, they can't even eat it. Because it's something about the tribulation period or something after that. Brother, we need to eat the word for now. Which is one thing. It ain't building a church. It ain't building a ministry. It ain't building any denomination. It's getting a people ready to be raptured. A people ready to leave. And that ought to be the focus of our entire lives, of every church, of every ministry, is to get people to that place where they can say, whether they understand it or not, I'm ready to go when Jesus comes. What else do you want to know besides that? Say, well, I know He's come already. Look, He is here in spirit, and you better see Him now. You better eat Him now. But there is still a man on the right hand of the Father that's coming back. That's right. Until I see Him and I give Him the hug I want to give Him, I'm pressing towards the mark. Now, people act like, man, this word, you know, it only does so good. It's only this or that. I'm telling you, this word is so potent and so good that even if you just eat the crumbs, that's good enough. It's not that, oh, I only have crumbs. No, this is so potent and so powerful that crumbs will overcome anything you're going through. You know what story I'm thinking of. Let's just read it. Let's read the word. We'll do that real quick. Matthew 15. Verse 21. And it's a Syrophoenician woman when she came to Jesus. It's verse 21. It says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto Him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But He answered her not a word. And His disciples came and besought her, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But He answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. Brother, sister, I tell you what, we remember the vision Brother Bram talks about, the Pentecostal kitty cat, right? You can, as long as you pet it this way, it was fine. It loved you, purred, just. And then the Holy Spirit told him, pet it the other way once. He said he pet it back and it reared up, you know. Okay, we got a message cat in this hour too, okay? Just to let you know that. Too many times we just want to be petted to one way. Don't tell me nothing else. Let's just imagine you're that person. She's coming to Jesus and Jesus ignores her, step one. Disciples say, get her out of here. She cries out, Lord, help me. And He says, I'm not sent to you. You think you have hindrances to eating the Word of God? What about this woman? But her faith knew no hindrance. And it didn't matter how much of the Word she did. All she needed is give me one crumb. I'll eat that, and that's good enough. Message, folks, let's put our pride down and say if we really ate it, we'd have it.
if we really ate it, we would have the thing that we said we ate, because the Word can't lie. She said, and not only that, and we know this, but Jesus didn't just say, I'm not sent to you. She said, I'm not sent to you because you're a dog. I'm here for the children. Yeah, that's our Savior. But brother, I don't know if I want to eat that. Brother, eat the Word. It's good. Amen. There's a time you need to know you ain't nothing but a dog. That's right. Without Jesus, you're nothing. Without Jesus, I'm nothing. This woman knew that. And that's why her response in the next verse, 27, she said, truth, Lord. Give me more humble Christians that can do that. Do you think Jesus had a false motive when he did this? Of course not. But Jesus knew she was going to help this woman. Of course he was going to help this woman. He wasn't caught off guard. But what did he do it for? We know why he did it. He did it to test her faith. Is it any different between Jesus then and Jesus now? There's many times Jesus will make it look like he don't want you to have it. It wasn't sent for you. Come on. You made too many mistakes. And what do many people do is they buckle under the pressure. I said, well, I guess it's not for me. But that didn't stop this woman, because she had real faith. She knew, if I don't get it here and I don't get it today from this man right here in this chair, I ain't going to get it. And her faith that's so moved, she could not take no for an answer. Give me more Christians that are part of the bride of Christ that have such a hold on the Word of God that even if Jesus himself came and called you a dog and said it ain't meat for you, it wouldn't have mattered at all. And you say, no, because I know where I'm at in that Word. You know it's mine. By birth, naturally, she had nothing to do with this promise. But beyond that, there was a seed in her that had a tie to that promise. And Jesus did not come in flesh to redeem her. He came to Israel so they could turn him down, so he could die and then redeem her. He wasn't lying. He knew. And brother, you might have been born out of season. You might not have been part of the message group. You might have no reason to believe this at all. But is there that tie under the left side that's been in there since the foundation of the world that usurps all that and says, but I know I'm a son of God. I know where I came from, and I know if that's where I came from, I must go back. Hallelujah. Truth, Lord. Verse 27. Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumb which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Now, message folk here tonight, look, you aren't dealing with crumbs falling off the master's table. But if crumbs cast it out devils then, What does a full mouthful do today? What does a full course meal do today? Don't limit what God wants to do in your life. Eat it. When your body says you're only allowed to have this much health, you'll never get over this, can't get over that. You know what the doctor said about this? You're just born this way, brother. Eat it down tonight. I'm the Lord that heals all thy diseases. I'm a son of God. I'm allowed to have this. It's mine. You think of joy and peace and when every single force in this world is trying to make you not have joy, not have peace, not have comfort. You've been given a word to say you've had it eternally from the beginning, and it can never be taken from you. In the world, you have tribulation. Isn't that what Jesus said? He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And he said, my peace I leave with you. Not as the world gives, it just comes when it's good and leaves when it's bad. I give you something that'll never leave you. Eat that peace tonight. Eat that joy tonight. Make your body obey your confession. Praise the Lord. We have been given. In this last day, thank God for crumbs. Now, sometimes I'll just eat a crumb. I need it. But I'll tell you this, that's the real part. Here we go. Is if you're so stuck up, you say, God, if you don't give me a full course meal, I ain't going to even eat nothing. That's when you're in problems. That's the idea of this woman eating a crumb. But remember, God don't want you just to have crumbs.
He don't want you just groveling on the ground. You are children of God. You're not even a servant. He said the servant don't know what his master does. He said, but I haven't called you that. I've called you friends. Because everything I've seen of the Father, I've told you. How much more now that he's broken the seals and shown you the Word of God from eternity to eternity, how much more are you to partake of all the things that he died for? We have been given God's complete full course meal. Let us eat it tonight. Amen. Listen to this. The Invisible Union of the Bride of Christ, 1965. It says, Lord, I'm thankful. I'm very thankful. Thanksgiving to you, Lord. Not for the natural food, yet that. But Lord, the end time is here. I'm thankful for this spiritual food, Lord. The spiritual food of the seven seals was promised to be opened. You said, you say, that'll be something different. No. You can't add one word and take. It's already in there. It's just hid. It's sealed. How many understands this? Say amen. Said, see? I know, it's just a quote. I don't have, okay. You say, well, that's a mystery will come forth. He says, oh, no. It's already writ. You can't add one word to it or take one from it. See, it's already in there. It's just got to be revealed in the last day. He says, won't you come? Come on now, friend. If you can't understand, come. Kneel down. Talk to him about it. If I can't make it plain to you, he will. For he is the dissolver of all doubts. I think that many times when people, I don't understand what the seals are talking about. I don't understand, what's the big deal about these different things. And I always ask them, have you ever talk to the Lord about it. Have you ever got down and prayed and said, Lord, you know what? I've heard this. I've heard that. This minister said this. This one said that. I don't know what to believe. And got down until he answered back. Christian friend, if you don't get down and hear back from God, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to struggle. Because God can anoint a man to help you every single day of your life. But when you go to bed and you close your eyes and you all alone again because you don't have your own connection with God, that's where the rubber meets the road and that's where you're going to fail. But God don't want that. Remember that. Let's eat that word tonight. He said, I'm with you always, all the way to the end of the world. I don't care how bad the world gets. I don't care how much they get in darkness. The Bible told you as a believer, as a son of God, to arise and shine. For thy light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen. Gross darkness upon the people. That's the people. That ain't you. You said, oh, but I have the effects of it. Brother, eat the word tonight. The condemnations coming to this world have nothing to do with the bride. She's the only reason it ain't gone into full cycle yet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Brother Brown says this in God's Power to Transform, 1965. Now, it's hard to say this. It's very hard because speaking to people who feel the same way I do and the way I have been for many years. But since the opening of those seven seals of them angels just beyond the mountain yonder, this has become a new book. It's the things that's been hid is being revealed as God promised in Revelations 10. He would do it. And we are the privileged people that God has chosen of the earth that we might see and understand these things, which is not some mythical fleshly mind of a person trying to make it up. It's the Word of God made manifest, proven that it's right. Proven not by science, but by God that it's right. God, as I've said before in a message, God doesn't need anyone to interpret His Word. He is His own interpreter. He says it'll happen, and it happens. That He confirms it, that interprets it. That's the benefits of you knowing what Revelations 10 was talking about. It took the Word of God that's always been here with all these promises that man have taken and closed for one reason or another. Closed off maybe just part of it to the people. But God in this day said, no, you're going to have it all. Right. And He opened up all seven seals and gave it to you. Yeah. See, you only read the first seven verses of Revelations 10. You got to read the whole thing. Because the angel has the book open already. And I know it'd be more like a scroll like this. Theologians always want to tell you these things. They didn't have books like this then. Whatever. Anyways, he's holding the book open. It's not sealed no more. You can have it. You can read it. You can understand it. God did give the Holy Ghost to bring you to the true understanding. But you've got to have faith first to even get there. The whole foundation of everything is I believe God, regardless of what I understand by sight, taste, feel, smell, understanding, conscious reasoning, man. None of that. Faith is a greater sense than all of those things. And what it declares is absolute. Right. That's when you know it's the Word of God and it can't fail. That angel stood with the book open. The time shall be no more. And we know the seven thunders uttered their voices. And John went to write it. He had some conception of what those thunders said, all right? I've heard some debate about that too. But anyways, he was going to write something down. And what did the angel say? Stop! Don't do it. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, those mysteries, what those thunders just said, will be revealed. That's history. Let's eat it. We're not waiting for the revelation to come. It's here. We're not waiting for another message. We're not waiting for another mighty move of God. I know many churches are. Many are looking for it, and they're going to be so greatly disappointed because it was happening all around them, but they refused to see it. They refuse to think that God actually cares more about a sinner coming out of the world, giving their heart to God, even if it's just a quietness at the altar, leaving some tears on there. The Bible said the angels rejoice more of that than all of us running up and down the aisles and then going out there and hating one another. And I've made it clear, I love running the aisles. I think we ought to do it a little bit more if you want my own opinion. But that don't substitute what the gospel's all about. Joy comes from salvation, not salvation from just faking a bunch of joy. See, that's what I want to eat. I want to eat the Word. I don't want to just talk about it and look at it. I want to eat it. I want to know it's mine. I want to feel it in my bones. I want it to be like fire shut up in me, like the prophet said. And that Word that sat there, we think, oh man, that's mighty, the revelation. And then, oh, Brother Brandon was out there getting it revealed, and that's all. And as long as I believe that that happened, that's good enough. That ain't what stopped on the commission of Revelations 10. It said, then the angel said to me, see the book in his hand? You see that book? You see that revealed Word that was opened up? Go eat it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's right. He said, give it to me. He says, no, you go take it. That's what too many people want, right? Somebody give it to me. I don't want to pray. I don't, just give it to me. Preacher, you do. Some people love Nicolaitanism because they don't want to pray. They don't want to be diligent about nothing. They don't want to have to give anything towards the service. What do you think? I want this thing, when it goes wrong, to be the preacher's fault. And if it goes right, since I'm part of the group, I'm part of it. Tell you, God ain't that dumb. You better quit playing them games. He knows. And you can prove you're a Nicolaitan, because if you hold me to a different standard than you do yourself, then you've got a vein of Nicolaitanism creeping in somewhere. Because God called each one of us to be sons. He called each one of us to do our part. And you might not think anybody cares about your part, but there's one that does. His name is Jesus Christ. And if you don't do it, there's nobody else to do it. I can't do it for you. I can't give you the book. If the angel couldn't give it to him, how can I? That's the mighty angel standing there saying, here, you need to eat it. He said, give it to me. He says, no, you go take it. You go read it. You go pray over it. You go eat it yourself. He did warn you, Christian friends, that when you first taste the gospel, ooh, man, it's sweet. It tastes so good. It's honey on a rock. And then it starts digesting a little bit. You know what a lot of people do? I don't want that. Throw it up. I just want the feel goods, brother. I don't want to be like, what, judgment's coming? Throw that up. Repent, be baptized. Repent. No, let's just get the Holy Ghost. I don't want to do none of that part of it. Just throw it up. Because it gets bitter. Look, to know that you are saved is better sometimes to recognize there's so many that are lost. It's better to swallow that down. It's, you know, Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. And you say, praise God, I'm on that narrow highway. And then we don't want to suck down the next verse, do we? That broad is the way. And many find the path of destruction. Because it's hard to think of those things. And I do believe that the real weight of that no man can bear. No man can bear the weight. That's why Jesus never asked any of us to do it. He did it himself. He bore the weight of the sins and corruption of the entire world and all that would come to be it, and he took it all upon himself. That's why we're here tonight. And what did Jesus tell us to do? And I'm going to get to that when we get to communion just in a minute. I'm about done here. Just a simple thought. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. But I've known many people probably even here tonight, that are scared to death to eat communion. Look how quiet y'all getting. Because they ain't never, ever, ever going to be good enough. Because, you know, they'll eat the one part of the word that says if you eat unworthily, you bring damnation on yourself. But Brother Branham was very clear. He said, if you eat it and you ain't supposed to, you bring damnation on yourself. And at the same time said, if you're supposed to eat it and you don't, you're doing the same thing. And I began to realize that's what this whole thought came from, is I've dealt with that so many times. People, look, anybody that's coming to this table, are you going to tell me you really haven't spent some time repenting? We've all spent some time going through our lives, going through our minds, our hearts, and there's people out there who act like nobody does that. They were just already holy and pure, and they just come to communion. They don't think about anything. They just praise the Lord. I'm doing great. No, we come sincerely. We come, comb me through, Lord. We'll do it again. We'll do it as a church again before we even get up here. Why? Because we mean business about this. We know in ourselves we're not worthy. But we know as Christians, the greatest honor we have is, Lord, let me do something to show you, Lord, that I remember you. And this is the way he told us to do it. People scared to death to take communion because of those things. And I begin to realize there's still that same fear that they have applied to communion happens with the entire Word of God. They're so afraid to go out there and grab healing because they know they made this mistake last week. And they know, like, if God does that, then I'm kind of this hypocrite and I'm bringing reproach on the thing I believe. And it's just absolute nonsense. There's none righteous, no, not one. Take that word and swallow it down. That includes me, it includes you, it includes Brother Branham, it includes Moses, it includes every man you've esteemed to be worth anything. The only one is the one that gave his life for the rest of us, and that's Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Man, afraid to death to take that word and say, you know what? That message came not just for anybody. It came for me. In my faults, in my failures, both pre and post Holy Ghost. Some people's got some faith for pre, but they got nothing for after. So you know what they keep doing? They keep re-getting the Holy Ghost. Because then they can say, see, oh, forgiven again. Oh, here's some more. It's nonsense. Now, the Bible does warn you Christians, warns us Christians, that you can, the Holy Ghost that has sealed you until the day of your redemption, it still tells us, commands us all, don't grieve it. Grieving the Holy Ghost and never having it in the first place have nothing in common whatsoever. Every Christian at some point grieves the Holy Spirit. And every true born-again Christian cannot stand to live that way. It will drive them crazy up and down, left and right, until they find an altar, whether in church, at home. I don't care, they might have got stuck in a bar somewhere. They'll find an altar somewhere and say, God have mercy, bring me back to fellowship. I can't do this no more. And they will come back. There is no getting it and then losing it. It don't work that way. Christians, if you can honestly go in your life and you know I was born again of the Spirit of God, then quit getting re-saved. It's over. He's done it. You're sealed. Every promise. Now you have the token to say it is mine and I'm allowed to eat it. I'm allowed to partake of the joy of the Lord. I'm allowed to partake of my good health. I'm allowed to partake that I know if he comes at any time, at any place, anywhere, wherever Jesus is, I will be there too because I'm a part of him. That's why it's so important to know you have it. That's why it's so important. I do believe a Christian won't stay there out there. If you can grieve the Holy Spirit and go on like ain't nothing happened, you ain't born again. That's the greatest sign I have. You can fake religion all day long, but the soul that can recognize, yep, I grieved him, and I hate everything about this. You're going to tell me you can't grieve the Holy Ghost? Brother Branham lied. Told that little white lie. You know what it was? The IRS kept calling. He said, you know what? Me tell him I ain't here. Walked out the back door. Came back in. Tried to pray for the sick and think. Couldn't do that. Couldn't do nothing. He just grieved her all out of me. I don't believe he thought he was going to hell tomorrow. That's what some people believe. That's why they're not here to take communion. Scared to death that if I do it wrong, I'm going to hell. Brother, you ain't done nothing to make your... Everything you were sends you to hell. Everything Christ is guarantees you're going to heaven. I hope you hear me tonight. Let's just eat that down. But sure enough, it grieved the Holy Spirit away. And what really did Brother Branham over, remember there goes another call, and I believe Joseph picked it up and he put it down. He says, hey, Daddy, so-and-so is calling. You want me to tell him you're not here? That's when he said, ooh, man, how that one lie becomes two, becomes three. And he said, I couldn't do it no more. And he went back and made it right with God. Amen. And I believe every Christian will do the same. Amen. Let's stand together tonight.